Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Larry Richard with Anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Post-election 2025, no surprises here in the city of Pittsburgh. Corey O'Connor becomes the 62nd mayor-elect right now, but already, I'm sure, and has been working on plans. One of the things he said he would present prior to taking office January 5th when he was sworn in is, now he's the controller for Allegheny County.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a numbers guy, right? Because you don't get that job unless you can count, presumably.
Or have an abacus.
Abacus, which is something I actually learned on in grade school, terrifying as that is.
I remember you saying that.
For those that don't know, that's an ancient way of learning math, and it didn't work for me anyway. Meanwhile, any other surprises? This was kind of an off-year election.
I mean, no matter where you looked, whether it was the city election, the county elections, the state Supreme Court election, the elections for governors of New Jersey and Virginia, or in New York City for mayor, or out in California for redistricting, none of them are surprises. All of them went down exactly as they would in typically Democratic areas.
Hard to follow last year's presidential election in terms of intensity and importance in that regard. Next year is the midterm, so in between, but these positions are in some cases just as important to people. Before we get to what happened in detail around the country, we had hoped that a Senate vote yesterday may reopen the government, and there is still talk that another vote may, but we are now in day 36, which makes it the longest shutdown in history.
Did you know that there are senators now from both sides that are talking?
At least they're talking.
At least, right?
And hopefully, because SNAP is one thing, not to diminish the impact that that's having. That's 2 million Pennsylvanians, so these are our neighbors. But this air traffic situation, they shut down and may have to shut down airspace around the country.
So my sister called last night from Seattle to ask me, am I coming for Thanksgiving or Christmas? What do I want to do? And then she said, we might want to wait on this until the shutdown gets solved.
You know, we're just weeks away from Thanksgiving, so I would suggest at this point, if she has the option, she might want to wait till Christmas.
That's what we were thinking.
Because there's so much uncertainty, and this air traffic situation is getting critical for a lot of people.
Man, I would see myself standing in much of a line to get out of Pittsburgh. You know, it's not that bad here, but
no,
at Seattle Tacoma Airport, oh my God, waiting for a flight there, trying to pass through security, probably a nightmare.
Credit to our air traffic controllers here and also TSA, because they have not, certainly to the degree that other places around the country are just calling off sick.
We don't have reports to pass along at any point along the way so far.
And that's actually good news.
You know, that this is causing problems at Pittsburgh International.
So what about around the country with the elections? CBS's Michael George.
It was a clean sweep for Democrats last night as the party clinched victories in key races across the country in an early referendum on the Trump presidency. Far-left Democratic Socialist Zoran Mamdani will become New York City's first Muslim mayor and the city's youngest in more than 100 years. Democrats also won two governor's races. In New Jersey, Congresswoman Mikey Sherrill beat Trump-backed Jack Cittarelli. And in Virginia, former Congresswoman and CIA operative Abigail Spanberger defeated Republican Winsome Earl Sears. And California voters said yes to Proposition 50, a measure that will allow state legislators to redraw the state's congressional maps in favor of Democrats. CBS's Jared Hill joins us now with the latest.
A big question, though, is going to be, is this election a blueprint and a bit of a playbook for the next ones going forward for the party, or is it really just study materials with these off-season races oftentimes seen as being a bit of a vibe check for the midterms?
An election night sweep for Democrats. In New York City, Zoran Ramdani, a 34-year-old Democratic socialist, is set to become the Big Apple's first Muslim mayor.
Tonight, you have delivered a mandate for change.
Next door in New Jersey, voters propelled Democratic Congresswoman Mikey Sherrill to the governorship after a tight race.
The future is now. Roll up your sleeves, let your passion flow. The country we carry in our hearts is waiting.
History made in Virginia. Former Democratic Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger is projected to become the Commonwealth's first woman governor.
Virginia chose pragmatism over partisanship.
On the other side of the country, California voters overwhelmingly appear to have approved Governor Gavin Newsom's Prop 50, a plan to temporarily redraw the state's congressional map to favor Democrats, a response to efforts by Republicans in Texas and other red states at the request of President Trump.
We need to see other states meet this moment head on as well to recognize what we're up against in 2026.
CBS News exit polls show that for many voters, the economy and President Trump played a big role.
I think this vote, even though it's a local election, did have major impacts on how the two major parties have control across the country.
Overnight on social media, President Trump said pollsters blamed the GOP losses in part on the history-making government shutdown and posted this cryptic message. And so it begins.
Voters are worried about the economy and the cost of living. Now, ironically, a year ago, President Trump won the White House promising he'd lower costs. So what does this mean for Republicans looking ahead to the midterms?
There probably will be a little bit of soul searching with this one. We know that on one hand, we are seeing a number of Republicans, big name Republicans, looking at Zoran Mamdani as essentially a space that they can say that this is where the Democratic Party is going, making an argument that the party is going too far left. Meanwhile, we do know that President Trump is really pushing members of his own party to be more aggressive with getting rid of the filibuster to push some of their legislative priorities through. So that possibly could be something that we see as well.
CBS is Jared Hill. So it's like the pendulum swinging. This is typical, one side to the other, back and forth. So more importantly than all of that in the moment is, can we feed our people? Can we feed our families? Can we feed older Americans who are already stretched to the limit, and young people? Not one child should go hungry in this country, and they better get this fixed. Nothing else matters. Just around the corner, we have something special, Aaron, Paul, with Thanksgiving, and you were just talking about your sister maybe visiting from Seattle, Paul?
No, it would be me going to Seattle.
Oh, you going west?
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
No, there's like four of them and only one of me.
So it's cheaper that way.
Well, then she's got all the recipes for the, you know, like the cheese bread and the way we used to do the standing rib roast and all that stuff. She loves to cook.
So you have a traditional Thanksgiving dinner.
Very much so. A lot of family traditions there.
Aaron, how about you? Traditional Thanksgiving dinner?
What is a tradition? Okay, yeah, for sure. Turkey.
Stuffing.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Mashed potatoes.
And plenty of gravy.
Yes.
Cranberry.
Rolls.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, we have a very traditional Thanksgiving dinner with a few added things.
How can you ask us what's a traditional Thanksgiving dinner?
I don't know, actually. Clearly, my mind blanked, but...
Well, some people order Chinese out,
right,
just to
that's
be different.
True.
Some people do Italian foods.
How long have you been married now?
Oh, I could never do that.
4 years.
Yeah, it'll be 4 years in December.
So you guys are still like getting into a routine for the holidays.
Yes, yeah. And actually, it took us our first year to figure out we definitely don't want to split... You know, visit both families in one day.
Oh, yeah. We used to do that.
Oh, my
gosh. All that running around. We were exhausted when it was all over.
And it's like you eat one plate, you're ready to relax a little.
Right.
You don't want to hop in the car. So We do Thanksgiving with my family and Christmas with my in-laws because all the nieces and nephews are there. So it's cuter watching them open gifts.
So they do, I'm guessing, since they're Italian-American descent, they do the seven fishes or some sort of it?
Yes, some version of it, yes. This year we might visit my in-law, aunt, and uncle in New Jersey, who are super Italian, if you can imagine. They've got the Jersey accent and...
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, so I'm crossing my fingers for that. That'll be fun.
You've got the best of both worlds. Not only do you not have to do the dual visits on both days, but you also don't have to do the cooking.
Exactly. Honestly, it's great. That could change over time, but for now, I'm soaking it up.
All right. Butterball is giving away Thanksgiving hosting pants.
What?
What?
I'd like to see a picture of these.
Okey you can. Dokey, just then. Search it. Forget the fat pants this year. Butterball wants you to wear their hosting pants. They're giving away stretchy pants with thermometer pockets and places to store your cooking utensils.
How stylish.
Hey, look at Erin in the kitchen. She looks like she's a welder. There are turkey pants, too, apparently, but Butterball is teaming up with a cooking retailer called Headley and Bennett to give away 600 pairs. In case you're wondering, their turkey talk line is already open to help you baste your bird.
I know that I want to talk turkey, right?
Oh, man, that is gold. Here's another story. Number one place to retire 2026 is, it isn't, in Florida. Grandma and Grandpa.
I'm going to say Arizona or Texas.
You're going to be surprised. Aaron, you want to take a guess? Pick a state.
No, I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to go New England.
New England?
Somewhere Aaron. Up in New England.
I'm going to say Wisconsin.
Well, I'll you're just... close. Midland, Michigan came in first. And 80 miles north of Lansing, it scored high for affordability, tax friendliness, and quality of life, followed by the Woodlands, Texas. Rio Rancho.
That's California, isn't it?
New Mexico.
Okay.
And Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Hey!
How about that?
We're on the list.
Altoona's not that far. Altoona used to get a lot more visitors, but when they built that Highway 99, it kind of bypassed, because to go to Penn State, you had to stop at Altoona, you know.
You know, what I haven't done yet that I want to is take the train through Altoona to do the curve.
I would like to take a train in general.
That would be fun to go like to New York.
You know what I did once with AAA? I rode the rails in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado.
Oh, that's good. What a memory, huh?
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Aaron, it is so relaxing and so cool. You just chill and look out the window, and you can imagine being in the Rockies.
Right.
All right, one other story. Over this past weekend, we lost our dog, Kobe, 15 years. Big family member. Paul, you know this feeling well.
Absolutely.
Aaron, you know that feeling.
Right.
So many people can relate.
Yep.
Now this. Tom Brady, 7-time Super Bowl champ, right? Partial owner of the Oakland Raiders, now in Vegas. I still call them the Oakland Raiders. Also, Fox television star, right? Calling the games. Has revealed that his beloved dog is a clone of his late pet, Lua.
A pit bull mix, by the way.
This is real.
A clone how?
Literally a clone of his dog. He has now is a clone of the dog he had before.
Now, I mean, there's a commercial angle to this. He did it with a company that he has an interest in.
Yeah, it's called Colossal Biosciences.
And it's a real dog. It's breathing. It's not a robot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not a robot.
It's a clone.
So
they've cloned sheep before. Remember Dolly the sheep?
Bah.
Oh, my goodness.
Would you do this? Would either of you do this?
Well, you know, in the moment now, post losing my dog and that feeling you have, like yesterday, I'll give you an example. I was taking advantage of the nice weather, doing some chores inside, outside. And every time I came back in the house, I thought to myself, where's Kobe?
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, just the other day, I mean, I had a flashback where I, you know, looked to the one side where Ginger used to look around a corner to see what I was up to in the kitchen.
I think that I would consider it, but I feel like I'd be afraid of looking in the eyes of this new dog and not seeing, you know what I mean? Well, like almost a shell.
It's a great, but this is going to open up a big conversation.
It is.
Tom Brady is quoted as saying, "I love my animals. They mean the world to me and my family. A few years ago, I worked with Colossal and leveraged their non-invasive cloning technology through a simple blood draw of our family's elderly dog before she passed. And they have, the result is the dog they currently, he currently has." So would you do it? That's a great question for a lot of people. By the way, I think there's a ghost in our house now. I think it's Kobe.
Oh, gosh.
I thought I heard a scratching on the door.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you know that?
Oh, wow.
Freaks you out a little bit. Post-election, looking forward to the next half hour. We're going to be joined, as we are every Wednesday, by Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, but also Mayor-elect Cory O'Connor will join us. We'll see what his game plan is for the city of Pittsburgh as we enter a new year. 2026 promises to be a big deal. You got the airport opening soon. You've got the NFL draft coming. You've got a lot of plans and a lot of money coming this way to build out infrastructure. So we'll check in with Cory O'Connor here in the next half hour. One of the stories that grabbed our attention is melatonin, commonly used by a lot of people to try to get a better night's sleep. It is a hormone in the body that plays a role in sleep, and so taking melatonin over the counter is now one of these things they flagged and say long-term could have an issue with your heart. Preliminary research released by the American Heart Association Monday says long-term use of melatonin may increase risk of heart failure. Now, we hear these kinds of things a lot about different drugs, but this isn't, I don't even think people consider it a drug. So we wanted to reach out. Dr. Natalie Gentile is with us this morning. Welcome back, Doc.
Thanks, Larry. Thanks for having me. Good morning.
You know what I'm talking about when we hear these releases. This or that may do this or that. Just caffeine and coffee. We've heard it's good, it's bad, too much is bad, not enough is, you know. So what's the latest on melatonin, which a lot of people use to get a better night's sleep?
These headlines can certainly cause some panic, you know, and a lot of confusion. And that's the goal, right, is to kind of get people locked in and reading. But I think it's important to break down what's actually going on here. The claims here in some of these articles are talking about melatonin and potentially long-term use of it increasing your risk for heart failure. So that's when the heart just isn't pumping as well anymore. And these studies, the study in particular that they're talking about, is very preliminary at this point. And it's not really a super strong one that we can say melatonin is going to cause heart failure, right? We call that causation. This study is maybe saying there could be an association. There's a signal that's kind of catching our attention, but it's definitely not something that's going to change our dogma right now as far as how we use melatonin in practice.
Well, as a physician talking to patients, and I'm sure once you meet people and they find out you're a doctor, they want to ask you a bunch of questions. But I would imagine melatonin never seemed to be one of those things that signaled some kind of alert. In fact, quite the opposite. They're like, oh, now they have it in gummy form.
You can get melatonin in all kinds of different doses at, you know, any store, basically. And a lot of people are using it. A lot of us in medicine do talk about it and prescribe it. I think it's important to come back to the fact, though, that in the United States, at least, melatonin is not a prescription drug. Melatonin is a supplement that you can get over the counter. And so at this point, it's not highly regulated. You actually don't necessarily know what you're getting or how much of it you're getting when you get a melatonin supplement. And the other thing is melatonin supplements can come with other things that are in them, right? Like a lot of times they're paired with other supplements like L-theanine, for example. And so I think it's hard to really assess in these types of studies how much someone was truly taking, because it's not high.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Really regulated. Were they taking it every day for sure, right? We're relying on people, having memory of what they took. And then what else was in these melatonin supplements that, per the electronic medical health, record, what else was in them? Because that's what the study was looking at. They were looking at health records from these patients. So those aren't always completely accurate.
Yeah, you make a very good point. That's why I wanted to ask, because people hear these kind of reports and it's important to give them a broader sense of it. And it's not a, cause and effect necessarily, as you pointed out.
Exactly. And we have to also look at the broader picture of two other things. When somebody chronically has bad sleep and they're diagnosed with insomnia, there's a lot usually going on, right? Like, that is going to increase your risk for cardiovascular and metabolic disease on its own, whether you're using melatonin or not. So I think that's one thing that's underlying here. And the other thing we have to discuss is sleep hygiene. Sleep hygiene and how well you kind of set yourself up for good sleep and your habits really play a huge role in your long-term health, including your sleep health, right? And so that's something that I think we need to pay a lot more of attention to and make sure is going well, whether someone's using melatonin or not.
I think that's the first time I've ever heard it, and I'm sure for many, sleep hygiene. You're not talking about taking a shower before you go to bed.
You know what, Larry? If that's part of your routine, a nice hygienic bath, sure. But sleep hygiene is a really important thing I discuss a lot with my patients. And to me, it starts, honestly, the moment you wake up. Waking up at a consistent time in the morning, having a morning peaceful routine, starting your day with some type of, meditation, gratitude, breath work, that leads to a day that is more productive and feeling better energy, which means that probably at night you're going to be more naturally tired and ready for the evening to come. And then sleep hygiene is that time right before bed with some type of great routine. It screens out of your room, trying not to focus on the phone, doom scrolling, TV, lights out at the same time, and trying to have that routine and consistency goes a really long way when it comes to your sleep health.
Yeah, so many people wake up, me included, sometimes you grab the phone and it kind of takes you down a rabbit hole of negativity, and that's not where you want to start your day. Well, before you go, what does melatonin do for the body, do we know?
Yeah, so melatonin, when you take it, is going to kind of lead to that sleep signaling to say it's time to go to bed. But our body already naturally produces melatonin in the brain and does that process for us. So a lot of studies in the past actually have shown that melatonin and taking it is probably not making as big of a difference for our sleep as much as a placebo effect. So if I take melatonin, I think I'm going to get sleepier and have better sleep, right? So that's that placebo effect. And I've definitely seen that with patients. And I think once you really start to nail down, again, that sleep hygiene and that routine, and you take the melatonin away, you really empower a patient to have better sleep quality in and of itself.
Great information, Doc. Appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Natalie Gentile, Direct Care Physicians of Pittsburgh. Get some sleep.
Bro, no, hold on. I think it's going to crash, bro. Holy. Kim, they're dead. They are dead, bro.
Two guys in a truck next to the runway.
And this UPS jet headed to Hawaii from Lexington, or from Louisville, only rose to what, 157 feet, they estimate?
They said 175 is what I had.
And then it was already on fire on takeoff.
Yeah, there were flames pouring over the left wing near where the engine would be.
So you had a full tank of fuel, and then... It where it crashed Couldn't have been worse.
Yeah, it was a petroleum facility of some kind, a storage facility or recovery facility of some kind. So
three on board, known dead, four on the ground, at least 11 additional people hurt and don't have...
And have you seen a video of a crash from more angles than we have now? I mean, that's how things have changed.
That's the world we live in.
Okay, on the south side.
It's a very special night for O'Connor and his family. He will hold a position once held by his father, the late Bob O'Connor.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Corey O'Connor coming up right after the news with you, Paul, at the top of this hour.
He will be Pittsburgh's 62nd mayor. So, Larry, Mike Tomlin was quotable again during his weekly media briefing. That was yesterday. Here's the coach's answer to a question about the Steelers' receivers.
You know, I think it's been a steady improvement in terms of their quality of play, particularly Roman of late, other than that boneheaded lack of ball security.
He's talking about Roman Wilson fumbled and led to a touchdown or a field goal. I can't remember. Oh, my God. That bonehead.
There were a number of quips yesterday that were pretty humorous.
We'll get into some more of those.
It's kind of like Mike Tomlin's stand-up. And finally, we have some news about Pitt. Why don't you break the news?
Pitt is ranked 24th in the season's first college football playoff rankings.
Yeah, baby.
Playoffs.
Hail to Pitt.
We'll see. Next opponent, the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame at noon, a week from Saturday. Twenty-four hours ago, the polls opened, and now the results. Good morning, Larry Richard, with my Wednesday 7 o'clock guest, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, Rich Fitzgerald. You have been immersed for many years in the process of elections, as well as being a candidate in your own right. And now, as Executive Director, you're working with everybody in the 10-county region in the city, and you know the mayor-elect as well as anybody. The 62nd mayor-elect is the Democratic now Mayor Corey O'Connor, and he joins us on the Big K Morning Show. Congratulations, Corey.
Mayor-elect, congratulations. Thanks. Welcome.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
I was thinking, and Rich has heard me say this many times, you're a half person from everybody in this town, and so many people knew your father and loved him, his passion for the city. Count me among them. What's it like for you to be in those shoes? And many people projected this would someday happen for you.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. You know, last night it hit us a little bit. I think, you know, today we're going to go when the kids wake up. They had a long night. But when they wake up, we're going to go thank everybody with our traditional signs on Forward and Murray. I think the day that'll hit me is probably the swearing in, because that's when it becomes official. But I think, you know, growing up in the household, seeing his passion for Pittsburgh, it rubs off on you. And I think being around people and friends for so many years and learning from them, you know, in our room last night was Congressman Doyle, who Rich knows very well, was my first boss. And it was unique to see all those things kind of come together over the last couple of days.
The one thing I say about it, first of all, again, congratulations, Corey. I know you've been working on this even all summer. You've been preparing. You've been putting a team, you know, together. I know you haven't announced anybody yet, and I'm sure those announcements will be coming. But the one thing I think for your candidacy and your job as mayor that I see is you have the support of many generations. A lot of candidates, and I put myself in that category, probably the older generation was more supportive of people like me and Mike Doyle and Dan Honorato. And then you've got this younger generation that's kind of moved in, and they represent kind of those younger people. You have support in across the spectrum. The older generation, many of which obviously I saw those pictures last night, were there when your father was winning 20 years ago, but they now support you, but you also have that next generation as well. So you do have that broad base of support to be able to govern with.
Yeah, and I think that was great. I mean, the way that the campaign shaped together. As you mentioned, we had old friends that showed up last night with the original O'Connor for Mayor t-shirts. But then you had young people that were enthusiastic to vote yesterday. When I went on Pitt's campus, the Pitt Young Dems were out and about at every poll, and they had three volunteers at each one, and their numbers were up from what it was in the past. So we did do a very good job of energizing the youth movement throughout this campaign. And I think also having a four-year-old and a two-year-old, it's very helpful to talk about families and how we want you to grow here and how we get younger people to stay here, because we have the talent. Now it's just up to us to encourage them to stay in Pittsburgh.
We're with Corey O'Connor. And Corey, this doesn't happen unless you have a conversation with your wife. She has to be on board, and obviously she is, and it seems it wouldn't have happened without both of you wanting to do this.
No, Katie has been amazing throughout this process. She wrote the speech last night. She does, as Rich will tell you, it's so much easier to come home to a situation where you're not talking about politics. You're just dad and husband. And without my wife, I couldn't have done this, because that was the first conversation when she said, yes, this is your opportunity, I'm behind you. It makes it the job so much easier, because you come home to a situation where everybody's supportive. You know, as Rich will tell you, when you go out in the streets, sometimes not everybody's happy. But when you come home, it's great to have that support system here. And the only problem we had yesterday was we got Emmett to the polls with Molly, and I held him up and I asked him in front of the media, who'd you vote for? And his answer was Grandma. So, I probably given him more Halloween candy or something. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, Corey. Grandma's gonna get votes in a young person.
Nobody's beating Grandma, no matter what you do.
Get used to that, Corey. That's absolutely gonna happen. Well, as a mayor-elect, the other thing, again, I would say back to the generational thing. Pittsburgh is changing, and you represent a lot of that change. Those of us of a certain generation don't want to feel like we are represented, and you do. You represent the generation of folks who have been here for many, many years, but you also represent that new emerging Pittsburgh, all those new people that have moved in the last decade for tech jobs and the Google folks and all that. So you really do have your foot in both areas, and I think that's really important, because as you govern and as you do the things that everybody's going to ask different things they want to see, the parks are better, the streets are better, public safety, et cetera, you kind of have a good sense of where that needs to go.
Yeah, and I think that's where we have to project. I know, you know, the NFL draft's going to be here before we know it. That gives us 50 million eyes on Pittsburgh that week. So we have to talk about that. Talk about how you can raise your family here and stay here and the opportunities that we have. We have arts, we have culture, we have great neighborhoods. And I think that's our prime opportunity to talk about the new Pittsburgh. And what we've seen, the changes over decades, it's now a reality. So how do we project that? And I think we're in a great space to do that right now.
What's important, I think, is the experience you have on council as a young person in the city for a long time, and then as the Allegheny County Comptroller, which is really the watchdog for the financial part of what's going on. So we're counting on you to figure out that, you know, equation for a budget and running the city moving forward.
Yeah, I think that helps us to, as was stated earlier, come right out, announce our team, be prepared. You know, we did get a text from Mayor Ganey last night, who reached out to say, hey, I want to welcome your team into the office, look at the budget. So I think that's great leadership on his part, so that we can really get a grasp of what's happening and what the projections actually are for the next couple of years, so that we can budget accordingly and we can make cuts where needed, so that we could save taxpayers money, but also have the emphasis on economic development. I think for too long, we've forgotten that we do have great companies here that need to expand, but we also haven't had somebody that's going to go out and sell Pittsburgh and call 10 companies from across the country and say, hey, how can I entice you to come to Pittsburgh? And I think that's got to be the role of you know, our office and my job as well.
And I watched you actually do that a month or so ago when you were at the AI Horizons talking about how important the data center and the AI industry is. And not all of that will have their footprint necessarily within the city limits, but a lot of the people that will work in that industry will live in the city limits. And I think Larry makes a great point. You know, you having the county controller seat for the last few years, understand the importance of how the city and the county kind of all need to work together on, you know, whether it be economic development issues or transportation or infrastructure issues. And I think that background of what Larry just laid out really puts us in a good position in this region.
It does. And, you know, knowing that, you know, AI is the next big boom and we've invested billions of dollars from the state and Governor Shapiro, you know, I think that's very helpful that that's going to be an industry and we have the talent to do so. Now it's our job to sell that we have space. So you're right. A lot of those centers aren't even going to be near the city of Pittsburgh. But why can't headquarters be here and fill up our space, the vacant space that we have downtown? And that's got to be a big push for all of us because everybody knows that the talent is here. Now it's our job to sell that the talent is here and to keep the talent here.
Corey, congratulations again. We hope
thank you guys.
Talk to you many times in the future. All the best to you, your wife, Katie, your kids, and all of your supporters.
Congratulations.
All right, thank you, guys.
Mayor-elect.
Thanks again.
Hit the ground running. You're ready to go.
You later.
As I said to your dad 20 years ago, good luck. We're all counting on you.
20 years, yeah. Thank you, guys.
And we are counting on him. You're right, Larry. That's a good way to say it. We all are.
All right. That's Corey O'Connor, Mayor-elect, City of Pittsburgh. This is the Big K Morning Show. Rich Fitzgerald in studio, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. I know, Rich, they have talked about it for many years now. The airport, every week I ask you, where are we?
We're getting close.
I'm curious, is the federal government shutdown affecting our local air traffic controllers and TSA agents? Certainly doesn't seem like it compared to a lot of other places.
It could at some point. I don't think at this point it really is, not like the New Yorks and the DCs and some of the other bigger, more crowded airports. But, you know, and my sense is possibly yesterday's election results might have a little something to do with, hopefully, cooler heads prevailing now and the shutdown maybe coming to an end. I think the last thing they want to have is a shutdown in place when the Thanksgiving travel season really begins in the next couple of weeks.
Apparently, the last time, and now this is the longest shutdown, 36 days, 35, 2018, it was the travel issue that many believed helped both sides figure out a way to open the government up.
That's exactly right. And I think you may see the same thing. And even hopefully, you know, more locally, the statewide budget impasse that has happened, you know, we're starting to hear that maybe that's getting near the end and maybe some cooler heads are prevailing and maybe we'll hear something in the next few days.
Talk to Senator Wayne Fontana on Monday. Obviously asked him that question, and he seemed to think, and you know, he's a straight shooter.
Wayne's right. Yes, absolutely. Straight shooter.
You know, I believe he's 73 years old. He's been there, done that. He's not playing games. He tells you what he thinks. I appreciate the honesty, and he did believe that there was some movement, so well, hopefully we'll hear something soon.
Yeah, and again, sometimes elections have a way of doing those type of things. You know, people were saying, well, who's to blame? Who's to blame? Well, I think yesterday the American people made their decision as who they thought was to blame for the shutdown. And, you know, so we'll see what happens.
And positioning and posturing prior to the elections, now we don't have that in this moment since the election is done.
You don't. And I think, again, you go back just a couple of weeks, and after the president was declaring victory in the Middle East with Israel and Hamas and putting that together, you know, he was riding very, very high. And it's amazing how quickly things change or things turn or people might be mad about whatever it might be. But these midterm elections sometimes, and they go both ways. We've seen it when, you know, whether it was Biden or Obama that were in office and the Republicans had a wave election and they won many, many seats. And certainly in this era, you know, we've seen it go the other way. So it'll be interesting as the Republicans try to look at the results and say, what are we going to do next year? Because next year is obviously when the whole Congress is up for re-election,
right?
And the gerrymandering and all the various things that are going on, we'll see what happens.
And coming up, we're going to find out what it's like to run for an office, a seat as a judge. I always was curious about that. that judges were elected, just in general, as opposed to appointed, which is better, many would say, election.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Because there's not the political attachment to one person who can appoint judges, and when one party's in, all their people are in, and we've seen that at different levels.
And how do you run for judge? I mean, do you run for judge the way you run for mayor or city council or state rep, or do you run as a partisan? Do you, as a party member? How does that happen? So we're gonna learn from somebody who went through that experience and was very successful yesterday.
For retention, I noticed locally, just curious, because we know Dwayne Woodruff as a Super Bowl champion, but he's been a judge for a long time. His retention, 90%. Maybe in part because the Steelers had a good game Sunday. Well,
many of us would have a difficult time winning that in our own homes, a 90% vote.
Amen. From the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center, powered by Bowser Genesis in Monroeville, back to Ellen Gamble.
Thanks, gentlemen. We have an accident for you if you're trying to come out of the South Hills by way of Banksville Road or Beverly Road, Cochran Roads. Do watch out on Banksville at the intersection with McMonagle and Dormont Avenue. There's an accident there as you're trying to head toward the Parkway West. You then have heavy traffic approaching Crane, and then you get to the merge point with the inbound Parkway West, which, by the way, backs to the top of Green Tree Hill. Construction zone lane restrictions in the South Hills, making 51 northbound a nightmare this morning. You're backing heavily into Brentwood as you approach Route 88 because of restrictions up by Noble Street. And then after that, you have slow-go traffic approaching the Liberty Tunnels. Parkway East is at Wilkinsburg. Our next AAA traffic on the fives at 735. I'm Ellen.
Larry Richard with Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, including 10 counties and the city of Pittsburgh. Post-election talk. In this case, we just spoke to Mayor-elect of the city of Pittsburgh, Corey O'Connor, and we have another winner with us.
We do. And this person is a name that's probably the last name might be familiar. We were talking about the generational change earlier with Corey O'Connor and coming, you know, his dad, Bob O'Connor, Mayor O'Connor. And now we're going to talk to a new judge, Judge-elect Jamie Hickton, who won yesterday. And that name might be familiar because two generations ago, her grandfather was the district attorney of Allegheny County. And then for about 8 years, her uncle, David, was the U.S. attorney for Western Pennsylvania District. And now Jamie Hickton wins for Common Pleas Court yesterday. But that wasn't what I wanted to talk about. Jamie, I want you to tell people, how do you run for office? I always say everybody should run at least once for something. School board, supervisor, township supervisor. We have 538 municipalities in our 10-county region. You could, wherever you live, you could run. How did Jamie Hickton decide to run for judge? And then what did you do over this last, I don't know how many months, year, that you did this? First of all, congratulations.
Thank you guys so much, and I really appreciate you inviting me to talk about this, because it's an incredibly important discussion that I think everyone should, you know, should be familiar with. I made this decision a couple of years ago, and you know, I have been working in this system for a really long time now, and I've worn, as I said on the campaign trail, I've worn every hat within it. And you know, for me, I made the decision because I think that we need more regular people who understand what, you know, everyday individuals in Allegheny County experience. We need those people to rise and become the person who makes decisions about the rest of these people's lives.
So
I'm
going to interrupt for just 1 second. You make this a couple years ago. Do you make it by yourself? Do you got to talk to your spouse, your kids, your family? How does that early on process even happen?
Oh, no, this is not a decision that you can make on your own, because it does consume your entire life. I'm very lucky that I have an incredibly supportive family. And so I spoke with my wife. I spoke with my dad, my mom, my uncle, you know, pretty much everyone in my family, because I knew that if I was going to make this decision, it was going to also affect their lives. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, I wasn't making the decision solely for myself and that I actually had deep family support to be able to, you know, win.
And what was it that in particular, I mean, as an attorney, you obviously, as you said, you wore many hats and experienced. What was it that triggered you to really want to take this role as a judge at the Court of Common Pleas here in Allegheny County?
So I think it really started when I first graduated law school and became an attorney. I worked for a Common Pleas judge in Westmoreland County, Judge Megan Billick DeFazio, and I was her first law clerk after she won. And seeing how much of an impact the court, the judge, can have on people's lives, it really impacted me. Even though I had been a juvenile probation officer for 7 years before that point, and I was often in court, I didn't see behind the curtain and I didn't really have an appreciation for how much goes into being a really good judge. And Judge Billick DeFazio really demonstrated that for me. And that was sort of when I first got the idea that, you know, I'm a compassionate person who really cares about helping people. Maybe this should be my plan and my path.
Now, when you decide to run, you talk to your family and everybody's going to support what you're going to do. Then what do? You just buy some signs and put them around? I mean, do you start visiting people? What is the process in which you say, I am candidate for Common Pleas Court and vote for me? Where do you begin that process?
So I think the first thing that every person, and I agree with you, everyone should run, or everyone should put themselves out there to do something greater for the people in their community. But I think every person who wants to be a candidate has to really understand their why. They have to make a concerted effort to figure out, like, why do I want to do this? What is going to be my platform? Why are people going to support me? Like, what is it about me that makes me unique that will make people want to support me? And so for me, you know, because I had been in public service my whole career, I've never been a politician. So a lot of people didn't know me. So I made a very concerted effort to try to introduce myself to so many people. I was involved in a lot of community organizing efforts surrounding, you know, some of the important issues of today. And I just did everything I could to, you know, understand what this was going to look like, understand who I was as a candidate, and then to introduce myself to literally anyone who would sit down and have coffee with me.
Well, congratulations again. Appreciate the time. Let Uncle David know we said hello. I know him very well. I think he told me it's folks once performed on KDK Radio back in the day. So there's always this incredible connection with everything in Pittsburgh.
Well, it's been family has really been public servants for, again, generations, and now the next generation taking over and winning a 10-year term, and you'll be putting that robe on in the coming weeks. And congratulations, we're proud of. I'm proud to know you. I'm proud to know your family, and we're glad you're going to be in that seat.
Thank you guys so much. I'm so honored that the voters gave me this opportunity, and I'm going to work tirelessly every day to not let Allegheny County down.
Congratulations, Judge-elect Hickton.
Two guys in a truck last night in Louisville.
Bro, no, hold on. I think it's going to crash, bro. Holy Kim, they're dead. They are dead, bro.
Tragic. And now, in the technological age we live in, they had multiple videos of the jet taking off and then shortly thereafter crashing.
Well, I just saw a video, gentlemen, not long ago, just a few minutes ago, from the airfield where it appears one of the engines had fallen off the aircraft before the crash.
I didn't see that. Yep. I just saw the flames on the runway on takeoff. Yep.
So at least we know some of what happened. UPS MD-11, and they shut the airport down. They're reopening it this morning. On the south side.
It's a very special night for O'Connor and his family. He will hold a position once held by his father, the late Bob O'Connor.
Yeah, we talked to Corey this hour, and generational. As you pointed out, Rich, a new generation running the county and the city.
Yeah, you see that. And we, you know, even the judges, you're starting to see, you know, some of the next generation, you know, taking over. And we sort of see that even culturally and even economically in this town. It is a new generation of some of these new companies, these new, you know, organizations. And it's the natural timing of things.
Yeah, what Rich is delicately trying to say is we're getting older, Paul.
Well, I had that sinking feeling.
I'll point at myself, Paul, not you. You're young guys like you, you're taking over still.
Oh, nice.
Oh, you're too kind. Hey, Mike Tomlin was quotable again, guys, during his weekly media briefing.
Wait
a minute. Here we
this.
Go. Here's the coach's answer to a question about the Steelers receivers.
You know, I think it's been a steady improvement in terms of their quality of play, particularly Roman of late, other than that boneheaded lack of ball security.
For those that don't know, Roman Wilson was targeted, made a catch, and he tried to leap over one of the Colts, and he fumbled, and that's what the coach is referring to.
So is he the wine or the grapes?
The last real good quote was, a fine line between drinking wine and smashing grapes.
And then we have this nice piece of news. Pitt is now ranked 24th in the season's first college football playoff rankings.
And a real opportunity over these next couple of games when they're really, you know, starting to play the Notre Dames and the Miamis. It's Georgia Tech's going to be interesting.
If they can win all three. Now, Notre Dame is in a conference game, so they could actually afford to get into the playoffs, though. They got to win all three. But they're there. They're in the conversation.
They're in the conversation. Congratulations.
All right. Thank you, Paul. And Rich, thank you. Coming up, we're going to talk to, as you know, the Robotics Network and Discovery Day is going on today. So we're going to tune into that and see what's going on down at the convention center.
That is always an exciting day. And Jen Epicella and her team, the Pittsburgh Robotics Network, I think this is the fourth year they've been doing that. I will be down there both this morning and this afternoon in between some other things I have to do. But it's wonderful. And you see, again, generational. You see all these young people, and I'm talking 12, 13, 14-year-olds who really are learning this new technology. I call it new technology, but it's exciting to see.
As I shared with you, I thought of you in San Francisco. We tried one of those driverless cars called Waymo, brand new Jaguar, and it was an unbelievable experience. You should check out our social media. We posted it, and Rich
and you and PJ are here to talk about it, right? You survived.
I was very apprehensive initially, but once we got rolling, I was obeying all the, you know, traffic speed signs, using its signals. I'm like, wow. And there were bicyclists in the street. There were people walking, and I got real comfortable real fast. I'd do it again.
Yeah. No, I think it's obviously this change is going to, when it happens, ultimately, think about all the job displacement, safety, you know, insurance rates, et cetera, et cetera. Big change is coming.
All right, Rich, thanks. We'll see you next Wednesday.
See you next
Good morning, Larry Richard with Anchorman Paul Rasmussen. The results are in. We just talked with Rich Fitzgerald in the last hour, along with Corey O'Connor and Judge-elect Jamie Hickton. And Rich said he was going down the David Lawrence Convention Center because there's a big thing going on. Pittsburgh Robotics Network proud to present their Robotics and AI Discovery Day. And joining us is Maddie Love, Director of Communications for the Pittsburgh Robotics Network. And you can see her on our live stream at kdkradio.com and our new YouTube KDK Radio page that you can watch, presented by Metropolitan Window Company. Maddie, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Give us some sense of what is happening today at the David Lawrence Convention Center. Suffice to say, Rich Fitzgerald thinks it's a big deal, and is rolling down the hill from the Parkway West to get there.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a big deal today. So it's happening today. It's a chance to really experience the future right here in Pittsburgh. We are the robotics capital of the world, and we were the birthplace of AI. So why not throw a wonderful event that goes ahead and celebrates that right here?
So how many different companies will be represented, and what kind of things will we see?
Yeah, so it's really here for groundbreaking innovation, world-class research. We have everything from robotics companies and AI companies that are located here in Pittsburgh, some that are global, as well as our staple institutions like CMU, Pitt, and all of their affiliates here. It's about making sure that everyone has an opportunity to have a touch point with robotics. There are really, really cool things happening here in Pittsburgh, and over 200 exhibitors and 10,000 attendees expected today.
Well, that's impressive in and of itself. And as you know, Maddie, a lot of the talk for years has been, how do we get talent to come here and how do we keep talent here from young people moving away? And what are we doing to attract people with these new jobs?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where robotics and AI has a huge future here in Pittsburgh. It's something that we go ahead and make sure that there's workforce programs that can train people into technician roles that creates additional employment here. We also have two world-class institutions here. And if we can provide wonderful companies here for them to go ahead and work, that gives them a future here in Pittsburgh. And that's what we see with Gecko, who just hit unicorn status. Skilled AI, a world-class AI institution, right?
When you say unicorn status, that means they've reached the $1 billion mark.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal. And they're right here in Pittsburgh. They're actually right there on the showroom floor.
And I'm also curious in terms of outside of getting people excited about robotics and artificial intelligence, part of what you have to do is to sell the region. What do you tell people that are here from out of town?
Yeah, so there's a ton of people here from out of town right now. We have investors. We have people looking to make partnerships. We have people that are looking to explore new business options here in Pittsburgh as well. And I think when they come here, they're really blown away. Pittsburgh, it's heavier than you'd think in the world of tech. And we're just excited to celebrate that today.
When you walk around, and I'm sure you've been out on the exhibit floor just to see the setup, any aha moments even for you, things you see and you go, wow, that's really incredible.
Yes. So this is our fourth annual. To tell you, it's insane this year. There are robots and autonomous machines running everywhere. There are autonomous forklifts. The Aurora self-driving truck is here. We have Astrobotic. We have Gecko. We have amazing companies, and they have actual physical robots, physical products that you can see, touch, feel, make sure that you have, get an eyeball up and close and personal, and have an opportunity to interact with. And we think that's really important because oftentimes these products are, behind closed doors. You don't actually get to see them. You get to see a cool video of them. This is a really rare opportunity to walk up and actually have an interaction.
I'm going to have to send you, and I showed Rich that we were in San Francisco and took a driverless car from Waymo around the city of San Francisco.
Cool.
Yeah. And that technology largely was developed here. Same with the autonomous truck.
Big time. Yeah, it's awesome. I don't think people realize how much technology does get developed here. And our goal is to make sure, showcase it off here and keep that talent here. Keep these companies here. Make sure that there is a ton of commercialization here in the Pittsburgh region to continue to grow us into the tech hub that we are.
Now, this is 9 until 6 today, David Lawrence Convention Center. Is there a admittance fee?
No, it is completely free and open to the public. So there's a registration desk right at the top of Hall A. All you have to do is come up the escalators and come hang out.
I think that's a great idea. And again, more than 10,000 attendees expected and over 200 exhibitors. So, Maddie, appreciate you taking some time for us this morning. Sounds like it's going to be a great day.
Amazing. Come on out. Don't miss your chance to see the future.
The future is here. Maddie Love, Director of Communications, Pittsburgh Robotics Network. In studio from our newsroom. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning, Larry.
What is trending, T?
The election is trending. I just want to throw that out there. And kudos to the young people out there. My daughter was online all day yesterday. She was talking to her friends. She was making sure that everybody she surrounds herself with is involved and know what's happening, to get out and vote. And they really and truly stood up. So we really have to, congratulate and commend our younger kids that, you know, sometimes they're caught between what's happening on social media and don't know whether it's true or false. So, I mean, I'm very, very, very excited with how they turned out yesterday.
To that point, more and more, I think people are understanding that what they're seeing on social media is, in many cases now, not true at all.
Correct.
In fact, all of these videos, not in the same genre in terms of politics, just videos out there that people believe are real,
yeah,
and they're not.
Yes, yes, yes. So, I mean, we have to stay involved in, you know, whatever political side you're on, but just inform. Let the kids know what's out there and let them form their own opinion. But the thought, and just to see them, you know, the turnout for them is it's really inspiring. So you older folks out there,
don't be
you
looking
older
at me.
Folks out there, you should worry, because some young kids out there in droves. Well, I mean, they're fed up on both sides. I mean, they're just fed up with the old mentality of how we were raised and how our grandfather raised us and our grandparents raised us and our moms and our dads, and they're developing into their own person, and we have to respect that no matter if we like it or not.
It's kind of how it's supposed to go. And as Rich Fitzgerald pointed out, you have Allegheny County Executive Sarah Innamorato in her early 40s,
yeah,
I believe, and Corey O'Connor. So you have the next generation taking over leadership in this region alone and some of the surrounding regions.
I like what Corey said, and to see him yesterday when I was at, you know, his polling place, to see, you know, he has little kids. So he is actually living to see what his kids are going to have a better, you know, opportunity in a better Pittsburgh, in a better way that, you know, they could see things progress here in the city. And that's absolutely phenomenal to see. I mean, sometimes you see, you know, politicians, their kids are, you know, they're grown, they have their own lives. So you look at it and say, so what are you in it for? You know, you can look and see, like, you have two little kids and, you know, I'm living for my kids and I'm trying to make this.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, place a better place for everybody, you know, but I mean, it's nice to see that, you know, we can look out now and we beat these young kids up often. I mean, you hear it, you see it. Oh, they're get off TikTok, get off Instagram. That's all they know. But yesterday, it was a tremendous.
They showed up.
They showed up and they showed out.
All right. Do you ever purchase lottery tickets?
I do. Yes.
I happened to be gassing up last night and it hit me. Oh, the Mega Millions,
right,
is now no jackpot winner last night, including me. But I thought, wouldn't it be ironic if I last minute thought I got to get gas and then thought, well, I better get a ticket.
That's a sign.
I was thinking this will be a great story. I'll yes. be able to say I didn't want to stop, but I ended up being there and I got a ticket and won the Mega Millions.
Right.
But it didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
For no individual. Mega Millions now will be worth $843 million.
Wow. Why don't they give 843 people $1 million?
Or win the lottery. The $1 million lottery, they'll pay you a dollar a year for 1 million years.
Oh, God, no. I mean, the lottery is just frustrating. There are people who are avid lottery players, like my husband. I mean, he isn't the same if he doesn't play his lottery every day. But it's frustrating. And I said, you're just throwing money out the door. But then he says, you know what? That's what the person who won the last Mega Million said. So he says, hey, you have to play.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance.
By the way, the Powerball tonight is worth $438 million, which is nothing to sneeze at.
No. Are you playing?
I mean, that would definitely. Last night when I did it,
How did you feel? You looked like you felt dirty. Well,
No.
Like, no, I just gave my money away.
No, I decided, and they upped what each card, you know, it's a draw. So it's $5 per now in Mega Millions.
Yes, I know.
Still $2 per draw on the Powerball. But at the get-go, near where I live, they don't sell them behind the counter. They got a machine now.
Yeah, that's. I was going to say that to you. So a lot of gas stations have them.
And I had never used one before. Mm-hmm. And there were people behind me going, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And one guy yells out, hey, Larry, you never played a lottery? I'm like, I don't know. Wait, they go, just hit the button.
Yes. I guess it's easier for people to just go and press the buttons. But I went and played. Also, I play the big four. When I do, I play the big four. My address always hits 8614. So if you guys are listening, 8614, you better play that number.
That's your cheat code from T.
And if you hit, you better call me and tell me, T, here's a couple thousand. Throw me a bone.
If she hits, you'll never see T again.
That's a fact.
Gone.
Good is gone.
Thank you, T.
Gone by dawn. Bye.
To Myra Rush. I bid five. Top stories driving the day's news weekday afternoons with Colin Dunlap, brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. If you just tuned in, you're probably saying, why is Larry asking if you want to clone your pet? Well, big story for superstars is seven-time Super Bowl champ Tom Brady did clone his dog. And Aaron, growing up, did you have pets?
Yes, I've had a few dogs, three. Over my childhood.
Cats? Fish?
I fostered a cat for like 2 weeks. Definitely have had fish, yes.
All right, so Tom Brady does this, and it's announced because he's part of a company. He's an investor in Colossal Biosciences, and they cloned the pit bull mix that he had, an older dog, using a blood sample collected prior to that dog's death. And they successfully cloned the dog. And apparently this company has done it before. Now, Tom Brady's dog, Junie, is a clone of his dog, Lua, that died in 2023. And we just found out about this yesterday, no doubt to promote Colossal Biosciences. But apparently Colossal has also, let's see, they acquired Pets and Esquine, they cloned Barbara Streisand and Paris Hilton's dogs. For a minute, you thought I was going to say they cloned Barbara Streisand.
I know. Well, I love that this is really kind of low-key and under the radar right now. I would never have guessed that celebrities were getting their pets cloned.
Because they, I don't know. I'm trying to find out how much they paid to do it. Because obviously that's going to be a game changer for people that
right.
are thinking even in their wildest dreams. But this goes way back to the late 90s. The first cloned animal was a sheep.
And what purpose did they clone the sheep?
Dolly, the sheep.
I know, but why did they clone? Why did they create her?
Because they could.
Yeah, I guess it was
no,
a trial
to show
run.
That, you know, and
it was doable.
Yeah, and Tom Brady put out a statement saying, I love my animals. They mean the world to me and my family. A few years ago, I worked with Colossal, leveraged their non-invasive cloning technology through a simple blood draw of our family's elderly dog before she passed.
Okay, so if someone asked you this directly after, you know, you just suffered a loss, or a couple months later, would your answer be different? Would it be yes, no, obvious? What are your thoughts?
In the high emotion of, now, we lost our dog this past weekend after 15 years, mm-hmm. a golden we rescued named Kobe. The kids named Kobe, even though it was a female, because they were big basketball fans growing up, right?
Right.
So Kobe's been around a long time, part of the family, literally grew up with my kids. And yeah, when the dog's gone, it leaves a big hole, and it's very emotional for a lot of people.
Right.
Many have said it's even more emotional than losing some, crazy as that is, some people.
Well, because with your dog, they're cuddling you, they can lay on your lap. I think you know, dogs, depending on your relationship, can have a closer proximity to you on a daily basis than most people, you know, excluding your spouse. But yeah, I mean, what would you do?
So you're asking me directly?
I'm asking you directly.
I wouldn't do it. I mean, money aside, because I think it's, and I still haven't gotten a number on how much it costs mm-hmm. with this company to do it. But if you can imagine, if it's Barbara Streisand, Tom Brady, Paris Hilton, we're talking big numbers.
So it's up there.
Average person, there's no way you could even think about doing it financially, right. unless you win the Mega Millions tonight or the Powerball tonight or
right.
Mega Millions tomorrow. So I don't think I would. First of all, you're cloning the dog.
The
it's
DNA.
Just like getting another breed of right. the same. So we had a golden. So if you got another golden, which we did, we had a golden before that.
Wow.
We like the breed. They're friendly with kids.
Right, but you can't guarantee that the personality and right. soul of your previous dog is going to be there.
Definitely not. Does a dog have a soul?
Does you know what?
Have a soul?
I've looked in my dog's eyes and been able to feel like he's listening to me. I feel like they do, especially when you actually love on your dog. I really feel like they do.
I think it was Pope Francis that said something about dogs
going to heaven.
Dogs going somewhere.
Hey.
And that was a startling revelation.
Yeah.
So 866-391-1020, just real quick. Thanks, Alan. We're going to go to 65 today. It's going to become windy. A little front's going to bring us maybe a shower or two. Real light, not anticipating a lot of rain. We're up to 48 degrees. John, where are you calling from, John?
Hey, Larry, I'm right out here in Clinton, Pennsylvania. You're right. It's $50,000 to $60,000 to have a dog cloned. We actually offer pet preservation freeze dry services nationwide. We're based out of Pittsburgh.
Oh.
And we had a client bring their dog and the junior dog that was cloned to the elder dog. And then they actually, a team of doctors here in Pittsburgh owned it. And, yeah,
Richard,
you can get a dog
man
preserved.
Paul Rasmussen, day after you, the election,
you know,
we got you covered
and
with
a lot of people are
all
choosing
the details.
Preservation.
Meanwhile, well, wait,
so
a,
we,
minute, wait a minute. I don't understand
this
conversation
so
with freeze drying the pet. Who won and
yes,
what were the
we
significant races around the country? It's
here
still
in the Pittsburgh market,
day 36
where you can
of the government
the
shutdown, which is now the longest
dog, cat,
in our
lizard,
country's
it is.
History.
Oh.
And a lot of people
we,
feeling
we
the impact, especially
using
when
the
it comes
animal's anatomy and its
food
skeletal,
insecurity.
Its articulation.
And joining us,
and we
a very
can
familiar name in our region, Esther Bush, who is
while it was alive.
President
How's
CEO that going in over? Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh,
oh,
Esther.
A tremendous
I thought you were supposed
market.
To relax.
We're nationwide. We,
you got
we
called
do
back
hundreds
to duty.
Of every year.
All right.
And it's
yes,
a growing
I did.
Industry.
And
stay on the line. We want to get your contact info. I want
Allegheny
to have you back
County,
on because I want to hear more about this.
Sure. I am
so you're basically...
Yeah, we could do a whole
well,
program
we appreciate
on pet preservation.
The,
I can
the
bring animals
to
in and show
oh,
it
this community. You have been an amazing contributor.
Don't go
that
away.
Said,
actually,
you
we
know
can take
firsthand
a kitty cat, sit it on your chair in the
that exists right
radio
here in
station
our town.
While you're talking to the public.
Yes, I do.
Well,
this,
that's a case.
Yeah.
How about monkeys?
I don't understand
right,
what's happening in our country
for museums,
that we are
we've
letting
done marmosets,
our
we've done every critter you can imagine
I mean,
that's owned by
to
humans.
Go hungry.
All right,
what are we doing
on.
About our snack
hold on, don't go
program.
Away. Go ahead, Aaron. Get John's
we
contact.
All
we
all have to do
this is happening in
much
Pittsburgh.
More to make sure
freeze
our
drawing.
Family and our neighbors are fed. In Allegheny County alone, there's over 130,000 people that are on SNAP. We, as a community, have to do something to assist them. The Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh has had a food pantry for decades. But like everyone else that we're hearing about, not only in Allegheny County, but across the state and across the country, we are in need of more support to assist our fellow citizens. There are too many of us that are going hungry. And so that's why we wanted to come on air today to let you know that the Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh is still extremely active. when it comes to providing food and support for those of our residents that are hungry and need our help. And so we're asking if your audience could consider supporting our emergency food drive. And that emergency food drive is one that can assist us with people that come into our offices every single day. And so I am asking, because this benefits eligibility, the applications that we're people are in line to get, Pennsylvania can still apply for SNAP. And we ask you to do that. And so the local response in Pittsburgh and the region, the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank, of course, continues to be there but needs help. We are very pleased that the mayor has been reaching out and has put additional monies in. But we would greatly appreciate you supporting the Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh, and I am putting my hands on the info now for you to reach out to the Urban League and go to our website and provide some support for us to continue to serve our neighbors that drastically need our help. And please, keep an eye out for your neighbors, literally the people living next door or across the street might need your help. Let us look out for each other. We would greatly appreciate you going to the Urban League's website and contributing whatever it is that you can so we can help your neighbors when they come to us.
And that is ulpgh.org. ulpgh.org. And it's sad to see, and this is all about politics, so it doesn't matter which party you assimilate to, or if this is so frustrating because it's hurting families, children, older Americans, everybody. And you said again, please repeat, how many people in Allegheny County are receiving some form of SNAP benefits?
130,000.
It's a lot of people listening
and
right
some
now,
of
Esther.
Some of them are your neighbors. And please don't say, I'm okay, and so it's all right. It is not all right, because today it is your neighbor, tomorrow it's you. It can easily be you. With what's happening right now in our government, we need you to speak up, speak out, and be supportive of each other.
Definitely let our elected officials know how unhappy you are with them not opening the government, just for starters. And we also need a budget at the state level. So, Esther, appreciate your time this morning. Thank you, and thank you for continuing to serve.
Thank you, and to all of your listening radio audience, it is up to each and every one of us to help each other through times like this. Politics is politics. I don't care how you voted. But your neighbor needs your help right now for food assistance. Thank you.
ulpgh.org. Esther Bush, the interim president and CEO of the Urban League of Greater, dovetail what Esther Bush from the Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh expressed and needing help for our 130,000 Allegheny County residents who are on some level of the SNAP program. Where are we with the government shutdown? CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
The longest government shutdown in history has made air travel chaotic for millions. Traffic was halted at Washington's Reagan National Airport after an apparent bomb threat was made against a United flight. Airport police could be heard describing it.
They say the call came in at 11:18. It was a voice of a robotic male tone. They disconnected the call after a few minutes. Say they wanted $500K in crypto or they would do something about it.
The plane landed safely and was surrounded by police as passengers exited. Officers searched the aircraft before allowing flights to resume. Controllers working without pay have been under increasing pressure during the shutdown, with many calling out sick. In Phoenix, ATC staffing delayed hundreds of flights.
There is more risk in the system.
With controllers set to miss a second paycheck next week, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy is warning massive disruptions may be just days away.
You will see mass chaos. You will see mass flight delays. You'll see mass cancellations, and you may see us close certain parts of the airspace because we just cannot manage it because we don't have the air traffic controllers.
In Washington, another vote to open up the government failed.
The motion is not agreed to.
With long lines forming at some food pantries, President Trump, despite a court order, threatened to withhold government food assistance until the shutdown ends. His press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, said some aid would be provided.
We are complying with the court's order. We are getting the payments out the door as quickly as we can.
House Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries said the White House was unlawfully withholding billions of dollars.
Chris Van Cleve, CBS News.
So that is an update on the national scale.
And a couple of quick notes to add to that. Apparently today, the president will be meeting with the senators at the White House, I believe for a lunch, before he leaves for Miami, where Press Secretary Leavitt says he'll be making a major or a big announcement about the economy in Miami. And that'll happen at 1 o'clock.
When he says, or she says, senator.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Is that both parties or...
That's the interesting thing. I'm picking up that it's Republican senators.
Okay.
But I've also seen a couple of speculative posts on X that Fetterman and some other Democrats might be there. I don't know.
My guess is they're trying to figure out, both sides, how to get the government open while saving face, which is a terminology from Japan where people don't want to look embarrassed.
I think that's exactly right. I think that the Republicans have got to give Chuck Schumer some kind of a victory that he can hold up to say, you know, the shutdown was worth it.
Don't you think? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Both sides are trying to figure out, all right, our people are getting hurt. We just talked to Esther, very passionate, from the Urban League about people here, right here,
I mean,
day in, day out.
How can you ignore the power in her message?
Why could you possibly... just for political reasons, not feed your people.
But, you know, it's interesting what happens to people when they get inside the Beltway, that bubble in Washington, D.C., isn't it?
Well, they don't live like everybody else.
They don't.
They don't know what it's like working on a razor-thin home budget and people struggling.
I mean, if you have an office in Washington, D.C., a congressional office, maybe you're a senator or a ranking member of a House committee, something like that, you can board basically what amounts to a golf cart and be ferried to wherever you want to go next, underground. That's how crazy it all is.
So that said, what's next? Well, we hope it bears some fruit, whatever conversations are being had, not only at the federal level, but at the state for the budget there too, because people are hurting there.
Not a peep out of Harrisburg so far this week, Larry. I haven't heard a thing.
The only thing we heard was Monday morning, Senator Wayne Fontana suggested that there were some, what he felt, productive conversations going on. But we've heard that before.
But then he also said that it's a completely partisan exercise.
It is, you know? Yeah. For both sides. And both sides have some level of blame, especially at the federal level, when you're not feeding your people. I don't know how else to say it. It's a shame in this country that people are struggling to find food because the politicians can't and it over semantic, whatever the issue. I don't care what the issue is.
And I think that the issue that you had raised earlier this week about the number of people and then the impact of SNAP on the federal budget, and we found out that the spending for an entire year on SNAP amounts to 0.1% of the federal budget, just a little bit over that. That's how small a cut it is. So in Washington, that's, you know, trivial, but like what you're pointing out and what we've heard earlier today, it's no trivia at all for people who don't get SNAP benefits.
And people are frustrated, they're angry, and rightfully so. When you have a child, a family, again, 130,000 people in Allegheny County alone. And of course, we cover in our listening area much more than that. So there are many, many more. And all because they can't. And this is just to keep the government open, which is only temporary anyway. They can argue. Okay,
no, if they finally pass the bill in the Senate, they'll have funding only through the 21st of this month.
So,
and they've got to come up with another CR.
Well, then we've got to go beyond that. And they have kicked the can down the road for many years. And usually you hear, oh, they're going to shut down the government. Okay.
Well, it's usually a game of political chicken, not this time.
Right down to the end game. So we're in day 36, the longest government shutdown in the history of the country. And they need to get their act together in Washington and Harrisburg. 10 till 2, Marty Griffin takes the air chair. He'll join us in just a few minutes. But right now, Marty's wife, Christine Sorensen, anchor woman, KDK-TV, and big part of Kidsburg. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning.
How was Halloween, by the way?
It was awesome. So much fun. We had probably 300, maybe more, trick-or-treaters at our house. It was really fun.
Yeah, it seemed like the weather held up.
Oh, yeah. It turned out to be a great evening. And my favorite, well, I had two favorite costumes. One was this kid who made a globe, and it was literally handmade. Anything handmade, I'm like, props to you. It was this big, like, looked like a ball, but it looked like the earth. It was very cool. He was wearing that. But the most clever one was, one year my daughter was thing one and thing two, you know, from the Dr. Seuss. Well, they were thing six. Seven. So that was clever. I liked that one too. That was cute.
When you mentioned that last week, I shows you how out of it I am in that part, because everybody was like, really, Lair?
Yeah.
You've never, well, no, but then the kids, I understand, they are all doing that six, seven thing.
Yes, they are. But you know what? The more we do it, the less they'll do it, because it won't be cool anymore. So that's the only way
there
it's
going
to go away. That's what I'm told.
All right. Let's talk about Disney's Newsies, the musical at the Byam Theater.
Yeah, you know, with this cold weather coming, I just want to highlight a few shows because there's so many fun shows and it's going to be getting cold outside. So it's a perfect time to go inside, enjoy a show. And this Thursday through Sunday, Pittsburgh Musical Theater is doing the musical Newsies, the one by Disney. I know you've seen the movie. It's about Jack Kelly, the newsboy and a leader of a band of teenage newsies, and it's a really great musical. They always do a great job at Pittsburgh Musical Theater, and the Byam Theater, if you haven't been, is very small. Every seat's a great ticket, so that's going to be a good show. And then there's a really cool once-in-a-lifetime experience show happening on Monday, the day before Veterans Day, and this is supporting the mission of life-changing service dogs for veterans. Thomas Jefferson High School is hosting this show called From a Distance. So it's featuring Donna Groom of the Skyliners, who's going to be singing songs from the era of specific real letters that are sent from soldiers to their families, or letters written by families to soldiers, going as far back as the Civil War and all the way through Afghanistan. Isn't that cool?
What a tremendous concept.
Yeah.
And for those that don't know, maybe you're a little younger, the Skyliners were a huge hit. They really started the late 50s and were part of the doo-wop era. And Donna joined later. She has a beautiful voice, but what a way to use it.
And you know what I love, too, is that the kids at Thomas Jefferson High School have really taken this as a personal project. They are trying to raise $27,000 to buy a service dog, and they have been raising money at football games, homecoming carnivals, online, and this is part of their fundraising, and so I just want to support the kids there as well.
And those animals are special, and it to a man or woman, a service person who has had this opportunity, they will tell you it's life-changing and has saved many of their lives.
Absolutely. I mean, especially when soldiers go through PTSD, these dogs have helped them. Or if they have some sort of disability, it's just incredible how the dogs, like you said, have become lifesavers.
But I love the concept of doing it with the letters from soldiers or families all
Isn't
the way back
neat?
To the Civil War.
I know. It's really, really cool. And that, of course, is a day before Veterans Day. And then on Veterans Day, I want to mention that the Children's Museum is offering free admission. So anyone can go and enjoy this incredible resource in our area. And then one more show, but rather than actually watching the show, you actually get to be part of the theater experience. This is exploring dance through games, imagination, and storytelling with Attack Theater Artists. And this is happening Sunday. It's totally free from 2 to 3. So check out kidsburg.org. You'll see it on our list of fun things to do.
Is that why they call it Attack? Because it's motion.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Makes sense.
And then, okay, I never knew this, but the largest pet expo in the United States is right here in Pittsburgh, or Kidsburg.
I've been hearing a lot about this.
Yeah, I know. I have too. So this is going to be fun. It's Friday to Sunday. It's at the David Lawrence Convention Center. And, you know, I know most kids, they want a dog. I'm just like my kids. They beg, we want a dog. We want a dog or a cat. But, you know, if you're not ready, this might be a good time to go and look and ask the questions. Have your kids ask the questions. How much time is needed? How much money is needed? How do you train? And then your kids are going to get a more realistic understanding of like what's involved in having a pet. Maybe your family's not ready. Maybe you decide, okay, when everybody's a little bit older, maybe we'll revisit the conversation.
We just lost our Kobe, 15 years old this past weekend.
I'm sorry.
And you know, you're so attached. I know Rosie is a
She's
big
like
part
my
of
child.
The family. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, and then we heard Tom Brady cloned his dog.
I just heard that.
He's part of a company called Colossal Biosciences. So, I mean, there's a financial, but it would cost you $50,000 to $60,000. There's another company that's doing it, but I don't know. Even if you had that kind of money, and who does, to just throw 50 grand at it, would you do it?
If money was not an option, I think I would.
We'll let Marty know when he gets here in a few minutes. No, but it's opened up the conversation for a lot of people.
Yep. Well, we love our little animals. And then we're going right from Halloween to Christmas. Santa is arriving at the waterfront this weekend.
Already?
Already, yep. Santa arrives at 3. There's a big tree lighting at 6. And, of course, all the shopping happening at the waterfront. In fact, I was just there on Sunday for a bike ride. Vince and I rode on the Gap Trail, the Great Allegheny Passage, from the waterfront.
How was it?
Oh, fantastic. I mean, just gorgeous with the leaves right now. We, you know, rode past Kennywood, and then you can see the Braddock Steel Mills. It's a gorgeous ride with the water, the Monongahela River up there.
I could see that being really great.
Yeah, it's a really nice ride. So, hey, check that out if the weather's good, and then just get in the holiday spirit at the Let It Glow at the waterfront.
And don't forget, the Veterans Day Parade is Saturday here in the city of Pittsburgh. We have one of the largest in the country. And again, free admission to the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh, same day. Are you going to stick around? Talk to Marty?
I'll be here. Yes, absolutely.
Check out kidsburg.org. Christine. Coming up, Marty Griffin, 10 until 2. And to begin the show with Christine is...
I had a bunch of peanut butter in my mouth this morning when she left. I didn't get to kiss her. Here you go.
Aw. If you're watching the live stream, it was a moment.
Do you see the tongue?
I didn't see
Boom, anything. Larry. Do you see the hands?
I didn't see anything.
You see the rubbing and tugging?
No, I didn't see anything.
How you
thing.
Doing, sir?
Patrick's here, too.
Careful. Well, he wasn't doing any tongue. Man, bad night for Republicans, dog.
Woo!
Dog crushed everywhere. You know why? Trump. It's amazing. One of my boys, big shot in the state and power, a week ago, Trump was a hero for the Middle East. Now his polls say he's a bum. This is what's crazy about people and about politics. Monday goes to Tuesday, man. They got destroyed last night.
I quoted you at 5:30 this morning. It's just like Marty says, Monday goes to Tuesday.
Damn right, brother. Corey destroyed that idiot Marino. He should stay home. Sweep the yard.
Well, he said he's not running again.
He shouldn't run again. Come on, man. Come on. I should not be in politics. Now will Corey lead. I got the names of the people he's going to hire.
Yeah,
they're going to run his office. Gilman, Dan Gilman, familiar name, right? Your own Zober, familiar name. Now we look at the others. We have him live in a few minutes.
All right. Coming up.
One more kiss. You want to kiss, Larry?
No.
Larry, I love you, Larry.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.